Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on the next generation of KGO 810.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
It's Pride Weekend in San Francisco. And a beautiful sunset it is. As the sun goes down, we're broadcasting live to the entire Western United States and Canada. Good evening and thank you for joining us. Wish you could be here for the beautiful weekend that is upon us. And if you are here, I hope you have air conditioning if you're in the South Bay where Tim Sika is.
I have air conditioning.
Okay, well, good for you then. What were you whining about? We have none.
I have it. I actually have it off now because I don't want it to interfere with our conversation.
Oh, so. I see.
See, he is willing to sweat bullets for you, Drex. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Valerie.
Dedication. Yes, Tim Sika, you're the man. Okay, so let's have some fun here with as I mentioned earlier, this comes from Esquire magazine. They put together some of the smoothest pickup lines in movie history.
Okay.
And we'll start with this one. Let's take a listen.
I never give anything without expecting something in return. I always get paid.
Well, if you think I'll marry you, just pay for the bonnet. I won't.
Don't flatter yourself. I'm not a marrying man.
Well, I won't kiss you for it either.
Open your eyes and look at me. No, I don't think I will kiss you. Although you need kissing badly. That's what's wrong with you. You should be kissed and often. And by someone who knows how.
Boy, that's a pickup line. I think he said other more interesting things to her, I think, earlier in that movie. That's from Gone with the Wind, Clark Gable. Vivian Leigh.
Yeah.
I remember when I love that scene in the movie where he's there at the ball there, and she's supposed to be in mourning. And they have a thing where they auction off the women, and he bids $50 or $150 in gold to dance with her, and it shocks the Confederacy. And he says, "What does he say? She says another dance, and my reputation will be ruined." And he said, "Well, you could stand with a little bit of your reputation being more ruined or something." But yeah, I love that movie. That's a great movie. I don't know if that's actually a pickup line because he knew her a while when he said that to her. But
yeah,
anyway.
But it just reminds me of I need to see it again because I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I just saw it for the first time probably 6 months ago.
Really?
What'd you think?
Well, it is an epic. I see why everybody talks about it. It sets so many standards for Hollywood, but also just the history and the time it came out in.
Yeah.
It is very long. There's the one song with the Hills of Home. You're going to hear that all the time. It's ridiculous, but it's really sappy, but I see where all the shtick that's based off of it comes from too. It was nice to see the genuine article from which all the lines are known about from. And Vivian Leigh is a great actress.
Right.
Do you know she was? Yeah, she was. I believe she was 24 when she made that movie, and Olivia de Havilland was 22. I mean, that in itself just boggles my mind. But yeah, the movie is a great. It's a great show, and it changed Hollywood because at that time it was, first of all, it was the most ever spent on a film. I think the final budget cost was $4 million, and that was in the late 1930s. And it also challenged ideas about movie length. It was nearly 4 hours, and it became the most successful box office hit of all time. And exhibitors were saying, well, that would be impossible because if your movie is that long, you're not going to get that many screenings in per day. Therefore, you're going to get less revenue with the box office. But the movie played forever and was constantly revived. And it's a great example, I think, of Hollywood storytelling and Hollywood, at its peak in terms of like factory filmmaking. Great movie.
Yeah. So, let me see, 76 years old.
It holds up.
Wow.
Yes, and Olivia de Havilland is still around. I think she's 100. Wasn't she just 100 or something?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Googling this right now.
Yeah, she's still alive and kicking. And, I love that movie. And, Valerie, you should watch it again. How old is she?
Let's see. A salute to Olivia de Havilland, Oscar's last queen. This came out from yesterday, and she will turn 100 on Friday, July 1st.
Wow.
Look at that.
Timing
at that.
Is
We're
everything.
In the zone.
We are in the zone.
Yeah. But, she gives a great performance. That role is unplayable because Melanie Hamilton is such a goody-goody, but she invests that part with such integrity.
Yes, the sister of, I'm the one who's like, I'm chaste, and I'm the one who's going to hold out for my true love, and the guy's a rake and a no good, and someone else dies, and she's still being so good. And then there's the scheming role of, the femme fatale. It's just so black and white.
Yeah. Oh, and, one thing we should probably mention, too, since we're talking about Gone with the Wind, is it was historic in that it was the first time an African-American, Hattie McDaniel, who played Mammy, won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. And she was so... I mean, she gave such a great performance, and the irony was is that she wound up winning the Academy Award, but when the film premiered in Atlanta, Georgia, she was not permitted to go because she wasn't allowed in African Americans weren't allowed in public places that were for white only.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that
even something? Even as a movie star, just incredible.
And she gave such a great performance in that film. She was one of the most memorable characters, and great.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just reading up on her, and she's quoted as saying, "I did my best, and God did the rest."
Yeah.
She's still with us.
Yeah,
so happy birthday to her. All right, smoothest movie pickup lines ever, and this is Audrey Hepburn's line. Let's take a look.
I don't bite, unless it's called for.
I don't bite, unless it's called for. From?
Is that from Charade?
It is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And that's 1963.
Yeah, that's a wackadoodle movie. Have either of you
seen that? Is
that
the one with Cary Grant?
Grant?
No,
yes, it's
not.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's completely indescribable. They talk, the dialogue is insane. You don't even know what's really going on half the time. You don't know why it's going on half the time, but it all kind of makes sense in its own weird way. It's very sophisticated, very witty. Hepburn and Cary Grant are like gin and tonic. Their chemistry is so amazing. But it's one of the weirdest films you'll ever see.
Really? I've never even heard
it's
of it.
It's very stylized.
When Mike gave it to me, I was like, what is this movie?
1963. Yeah, that's it. So it's just kind of coming out as like sort of the pop thing, split screens, Mondrian influence.
Yeah,
art history serves right.
Yeah, it was directed by Stanley Donen, who was one of Gene Kelly's collaborators. They both directed Singing in the Rain, and Donen did a whole bunch of other movies, but this was a kind of a departure for him. And it's got a great title theme written by Henry Mancini, which I'm not going to sing for you, but it's a beautiful theme, and it's a very unique movie. There is no other film like Charade. They tried to remake it. Jonathan Demme tried to remake it in the 90s. It was called The Trouble with Charlie, and it was an okay movie in its own right, but it wasn't Charade.
I think it really just captures it's like lightning in a bottle, that era, actors,
Audrey
that
Hepburn.
Chemistry,
right.
They are really, and the timing was right, and the way the Hollywood system was working, and everything just kind of came together, and to produce that movie, because they could never make a film like that today. I don't think. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here. We're talking with Tim Sika, and we're talking about Esquire's smoothest pickup lines in movie history. Don't go away. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Grant.
Listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. On the next generation of KGO 810.
It's movie time. And it's pride time.
Music.
I got so sick of this movie music by the time the evening was halfway through.
Oh my God, I love this music.
But I mean,
I play it every day.
Then it played in my head for the next week.
It's an earworm.
It is an earworm.
It sure is.
Yeah, but it's a great.
But I also went through the house going, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah. Oh.
That was great. That was. Yeah. You delivered that line.
I've been doing Scarlett O'Hara since I was about three. My mother can tell you. Well, I do declare.
Gone with the Wind.
And the most famous line, of course, that you have to keep saying, which when Vivian Lee would say,
fiddle-dee-dee.
I mean, who that is such a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, they couldn't swear.
Yeah, that's right. Fiddle-dee-dee. You know?
Well, I won't have it. I absolutely won't have it.
Yeah.
I'll slap all your men's hands with my little dick, my little lace doily fan.
I got to watch it again.
I would watch it again with you. With
I haven't watched
juleps.
It for 30 years,
let's do a, it's not a sing-along, but a drink-along.
It's a drink-along.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm in.
Absolutely. We all three have to get together and watch it. We're talking about the smoothest pickup lines in movie history, and Esquire magazine has put these out. And we'll do one from the 90s now, I do believe, unless I'm wrong about that. One of the greatest pickup lines, perhaps. Let's take a listen.
And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
You see, that is just like you, Harry. You say things like that and you make it impossible for me to hate you.
Actually, 1989.
I love that.
Yes,
scene.
Billy Crystal.
I'll have what she's
having. Yes, that everybody knows that line.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
have what she's having.
Yeah,
that's one of the greatest moments in movie history, I think.
Yeah, and also a really good movie, one of the best romantic comedies ever written. Yeah.
And I don't know what Billy Crystal really doesn't. He hasn't been doing movies lately.
And you know, I would be hard pressed to
does award shows, but
yeah, to say like his last screen appearance was.
He's been involved with things on Broadway. I think he had his 100 Sundays, 1,000 Sundays, and there's another project that he was involved with in theater realm.
He gave a great eulogy for Muhammad Ali.
Yes, he did.
I had no idea that they were close pals.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he gave a great eulogy. It's online. You can see it, but it was beautiful, beautiful. And you know, he delivered it with combination of his his wit and sophistication. But it was so moving and so beautiful. You guys ought to check it out.
It's actually really the only part of his eulogy of his service that I actually watched in its entirety was Billy Crystal's. And how they came together, how they were thrown together, because he got hired as a young kid to do this gig.
Mm-hmm.
Was it for his birthday, Muhammad Ali's birthday? And they said, you go and impersonate, was it Howard Cosell?
Oh, yes, he did do Howard Cosell very well.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they related to each other as just kind of, you know, being, outcast in a way. I mean, being, African-American and Muslim at that time for Muhammad Ali and, of course, Billy Crystal being Jewish. Just, experiencing that kind of prejudice. So,
all right, let's take a listen to the next one. This is Ryan Gosling, and let's take a listen and see if you know what it is.
So what?
So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really hard. And we're going to have to work at this every day, but I want to do that because I want you. I want all of you forever, you and me, every day.
Smoothest pickup lines ever.
That's got to be The Notebook,
it
right?
It is.
Yeah,
it is. You know, I haven't seen that movie.
Oh boy. You'll cry. You'll cry.
And remind me who the author is.
Nicholas Sparks.
Yes, okay.
I do not watch anything that is based on a Nicholas Sparks anything.
You know what?
So over the Hallmark schmaltz.
Oh, he is. He is. And most of the movie adaptations of his novels are terrible. But The Notebook is probably the best one. And that one kind of pushes it. But right when it gets to the point, like what you said, Valerie, where you just go, oh, my God, I think I'm going to die from the sugar. It sort of gets hold of itself.
It redeems itself. Okay.
Yeah, but The Notebook is his best, and it's a good story, too. Yeah.
We have one more, and this is John Cusack. Okay. Cusack.
I like
yes.
it already.
Yeah.
How would you like to have a sexual encounter so intense it could conceivably change your political views?
Yes. Yes.
The sure thing.
Thank you very
that's
much. Yes.
I know that one. That's the sure thing. And that's one of the best. Yeah, that's one of the best lines. That's the best line from that movie. How would you like to have a sexual encounter so intense it could conceivably change your political views?
Very timely. Yes.
When did the sure thing come out?
Oh, let me take a look.
Mid-80s. I think 85 it was. Yeah. 1985.
Oh, 1985. Okay. All
yeah.
right. 1985. Yeah, Karen has another movie. Okay, let's take a listen.
Okay.
The small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, but the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days.
That is mic drop, yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, my. Where was that yeah. from?
Kevin Costner, and the movie was Bull Durham.
Yep.
Wow,
yeah,
look at
one
that.
Yeah, one of the best speech in that movie, and that was a great movie. It was written really well. That was the movie that Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins hooked up and were together for, like, what, 20 years. They met on the set of that movie and began their relationship. Yep.
And Kevin Costner, right?
Yeah, Kevin Costner.
And I was just reading something movie-wise. It was, somebody was talking about Wyatt Earp being one of the, I don't know, one of the best Westerns ever.
Yeah, that's a, it is. It's a really good Western. It was in the 90s. Yeah, it was one of these poetic, sort of expansive, kind of leisurely paced stories that, you know, managed to really capture the legend or be faithful to the legend, but it did a little more in terms of it made you think about Wyatt Earp in a different way. I remember that's what I liked about that movie the most. But yeah, excellent film. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm out of smooth lines, but one other movie thing that I did want to mention, because this is big, especially in the Star Wars nation, Entertainment Weekly is saying that Darth Vader will be in Rogue One, a Star Wars story. He is an essential character, so it's unclear how big the role will be, but you will see him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's great news for us Star Wars geeks.
Right.
Yeah, they've got to use James Earl Jones if they can. I mean, and also why he's still around, because he's getting up in years, too. And speaking of, you know, we were talking about Star Wars. I mentioned, I was thinking about this, going over in my head what I was saying before, and I made an error when I said that Alden Ehrenreich, who is in Hail Caesar, was signed to be the new Indiana Jones. He's actually being signed to be the new Han Solo. So easy mistake to make. I just wanted to correct that in the interest of keeping it on the up and up.
Very good. Okay. And I don't think this is a bad thing, but the scuttlebutt, anything Star Wars related has so much, you know, chit chat. It's a chatterbox topic online. And it was probably a month ago, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. They were talking about, don't know. They're demanding reshoots and all of this. And, you know, my thought process was they asked this for the same thing with Force Awakens.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I think when we were talking about it on your show when it came out, I thought at the time that it might have just been a publicity stunt to keep people's interests alive in it, because I thought, and you know, that's not uncommon too, where you'll just shoot a bunch of stuff and then you'll look at it and you'll go, you know, maybe we should redo this or we should redo that. And a lot of that is like worked into the budget ahead of time. It seemed that I remember that story at the time. It seemed to me to be kind of, I could be wrong. I don't have any proof of this. It was just a gut feeling, sort of semi-manufactured by the studio to just keep the filming of it in the news. But I don't know. With the internet, I mean, half the time I read something on the internet, I'll read it, and I'll go, "Well, this isn't even a story. What happened?
It's
Who was involved?"
It's just clickbait. That's all.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's clickbait,
yep.
And it's hearsay. A lot of it is just hearsay.
Oh, sure.
I need
content. Content. Right. Content. Content. One other thing that I wanted to, since it's Pride Weekend here in San Francisco, I was going to ask you, you know, thoughts about best LGBTQ movie, but does anything come to mind? I mean, there's Brokeback Mountain, but I mean, that's so stereotypical. I don't.
Well, let's see. The first film that comes to mind when you say that, and one of the first really good LGBT movies was a film called Longtime Companion. I believe it was 1989. I don't think it could be that long ago. Anyway, it was about the AIDS crisis and how it affected this group of gay friends. And God, what a great movie. And it still holds up. It's got a great cast. Bruce Davidson is in it. He was nominated for an Academy Award for his performance.
1989.
Yeah, that's just a great movie. What else is good? More recently, Blue is the Warmest Color. It's was a French film. It starred, and I think it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. It starred Adele Exarchopoulos, I think, and Léa Seydoux. They played these two young lovers. Actually, one was a young, one was a little older. There was an art student and a school teacher, and they met and fell in love. And that's a great movie if you really like great acting and really just a mature approach to the subject matter. Blue is the Warmest Color is great.
Well, Karen's playing our music out.
I know. I heard it. I heard it. I was just trying to complete my thought.
Right. I can't quit you, Timothy.
Okay. Well, it's mutual, guys.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful conversation. That was
thank you
a lot of fun.
For having me, Drex. It was great fun.
You bet. All
thank
right.
you for hanging.
Timothy Sika, and he is the president of the San Francisco Film Circle Critics Association. There we go. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. We'll start the late night, late show wrap up coming up on the Drex Radio Show.
Big 10. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And our podcasts are available, and you can download the app for free at KGO. And download the app on you. As a matter of fact, you can put it on your iPad now and listen whenever you want. We KGO go wherever you go. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Drexit, stage left. Okay, a lot of things going on in the Bay. Speaking of the Brexit. This is a great story. So there's this woman in Texas who had jaw surgery, and when she woke up, she had a British accent, and she can't make it go away. She's trying to do speech therapy to get her old voice back. Her name is Lisa Alame. She's never been to England, and actually this is a real thing. The doctors say she has foreign accent syndrome, which is only ever been diagnosed in about 100 people. I say it's the second. I mean, at some point, she was British.
Oh, in another life.
In a prior lifetime.
That's a little Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just...
Reincarnated.
That's an accent I could live with.
Right on. So take a listen to her. But then I'm going to play you her old voice from an old home movie. So this is the way she talks now.
I say you all the time before the accent. Once I got the accent, I started noticing. I said, you what? I've never been outside of the country except for a mission trip in Mexico. That's definitely not where my accent came from. I was very shocked. I didn't know how to take it. I was very confused. You're still you. This accent doesn't define you. You are who you are.
It's quite Cockney, too.
It right? is. It's, yeah. it's a little East End.
Yeah. So take a listen to her original voice.
You guys have inspired us and befriended us, and we love you.
And by the way, it's not an internet joke either.
Mm-mm.
No.
I heard
say you all the time before the accent. Once I got the accent, I started noticing. I said, you all.
I started noticing you all. It's full on EastEnders. It is. Cool, blimey.
Do you think she's... it doesn't... And the story doesn't say anything whether she... thinks that she's reincarnated or anything.
No,
that's the first thing I thought.
Your interpretation. Because that's science. No,
I know, right?
I'm teasing. I love things like that too. Like, I don't know, because I don't know. I heard an audio clip today of these twins that made up their own language. They were 6 years old, and like they were raised by their grandmother who only spoke German, and their parents just thought that they were like really impaired, so they wouldn't let them socialize with other children. So for 6 years, these twins had their own language, and it was just the most odd but intriguing thing. It's like I wanted to listen and crack the code.
Right.
And it was just...
It was German?
No, it was the only... They named themselves like Kodl and Podl or something like that. And they would talk to each other and just play. And they had their own language. And so it was just bizarre.
Well, so they were never allowed to socialize or assimilate with other children.
Right. So they were isolated.
Why were they isolated?
Because their parents thought that they must be in some way damaged.
Well, that's horrible.
So they shipped them off to grandma, who only spoke German.
Okay.
And they were further sheltered. And so it's this very bizarre set of circumstances that they grew up in their own sort of isolation chamber. What happens if they don't have, or if they aren't given a language, they will create their own. It's very interesting.
That is. Well, speaking of Beam Me Up, I've said this for a long time. I've been waiting for the Beam Me Up, and thanks to the Russians, they're actually working on teleportation.
I would like that vodka to go from there to here.
Yes. Or just beam us up. Drexit stage left.
So they're working on teleportation.
They're really working on it, yes. And the $2.1 trillion roadmap for the development of cybernetics market to 2035 includes developing a Russian computer programming language, secure cybernetic communications, quantum computing, and neural interfaces to beam you up. So they want to teleport.
Well, I figure we're on our way there. It's going to be an inevitability, although science is like, well, we can only figure out how to do it one atom at a time. But we can do 3D printing. Why can't we transfer that to neural networks and
I think it's
living
great.
Tissues? And
maybe you people at Stanford know something about this, because somewhere in this story, I saw something about Stanford was fooling around or thinking about these kind of things. Of course, now the Russians, if they have a $2.1 trillion budget, I don't know, I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Yeah, I'm like, they can't even sell enough gasoline to keep their economy going right now.
Maybe it's Putin's own money. He's got a lot.
You bring up a good point.
Yeah, yeah. All right. It's great. It's a great weekend here in the Bay, and it's a Pride weekend going on in San Francisco. And we want to talk about some of the policies that you need to think about if you're coming to Pride tomorrow or Sunday, because the celebration is going on. It's really fun, and it's crazy down here, crazy fun.
It's hours long.
But you have to know that there's security everywhere, mm-hmm. and they want everyone attending the Pride celebration scheduled for tomorrow from noon till 6 and Sunday from 11 till 6 at San Francisco Civic Center. Bags are highly discouraged, and we are to tell you that no bags over 18 inches by 18 inches will be admitted.
Everybody bring a clutch.
And obviously this is for security reasons. Everyone attending the celebration must pass through screening process. All items will be subject to inspection at the entry gates, and there are no lockers for storage of oversized bags. So if you bring something over 18 by 18 inches, they're going to take it away from you.
Yeah.
And so you are strongly encouraged not to bring bags, and if you do, only soft bags. Again, no larger than 18 by 18, or you will not be admitted. You have to throw it out. Let me see. What else do they want me to tell you? Well, let me see. No coolers or containers of any kind, glass bottles of any kind, no illegal drugs or substances. Good luck with that. fireworks, firearms, obviously. Weapons, dangerous weapons, including any edged weapon, including knives, electric pulse weapons, no stunning devices, no drones, no shopping carts, no e-cigarettes, no radios, no walkie-talkies, no jammers, no scanners, no portable speakers, no hazardous or toxic materials. Any item deemed inappropriate or hazardous by law enforcement or security will be sidelined. So,
and it's worth saying.
Absolutely.
It's going to be big, big, big this year, I think.
Absolutely. It sure is. And, all of a sudden, as we were talking about last night, when we had a wonderful guest talking about Pride this year, what we thought was going to be about bathrooms in North Carolina.
Right.
It's really taken
a different turn.
Yeah, it really has. So it's an important, but it's going to be a great celebration, and we invite everybody to come to the city because this is
some friends who are marching in it. No one's going to be dressing up as either Patsy or Adina. and marching the parade as the Ab Fab Girls.
I love it. I love it. There are so many things going on. My God, I was, let me see here. Tonight we have the San Francisco Gay Pride Comedy Show.
They just had the Trans Pride March today.
Right. Let me see. Barracuda's San Francisco Underwear Night.
That is the one night of the year that when right. the population wears underwear.
I know. at Beatbox tonight. And this is incredible. This goes on from tonight at 10 until 3 a.m. That's going to be insane.
Beatbox is a fun time. I was there on their opening night.
And now aren't they going to close?
They are. They have their closing date already. I think it's later this summer.
Yeah, our drag
So
king
if you gotta, you gotta swing by there.
It's wonderful.
If you're going out, pay your homage now because it won't be open much longer.
Colossus is happening tonight with Hot Pink, and that's on Folsom, 1015 Folsom, from 10 p.m. until 8 a.m.
Ooh, that's some after hours. There's some Red Bull.
Yeah, and let me see. We'll talk about some other events coming up after the top of the hour on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.